Joining us now on the program, because there's been plenty happening in Adelaide. We had Jeremy Finlayson's, of course, handed that three-game suspension. We've had the gather round. We've got the Dockers who take on Port Adelaide there at the weekend. So I thought I'd invite Michelangelo Rucci, the co-host of The Run Home on SEN South Australia, to join us here on Sports Day WA. Michelangelo, thanks for your time.
Peter, I hope you're well, and I'm going to start with a question myself. How does the West Australian get Harley Reid on the back page tomorrow morning?
They'll find out something. Maybe you went to a Hungry Jack's outlet or something like that. It's been crazy, and I've made comment about it. I've never seen anything like it in my life. But saying that, from the old days when I used to read the articles, particularly with the late Jeff Christian, the West Australian is a very different paper these days to the ones that became a bit of a Bible back many years ago.
They all are. Yeah, they all are now. Yes. But I am amused by the Harley Reid domination of the back page of the West Australian.
It's been ridiculous. It really has been ridiculous to the point it's been quite pathetic. But anyway, they've got their reasons for it. I'm not sure it's increased their readership. Who knows? But anyway, it's put him up there as far as a focal point, and he will no doubt draw a lot of people here on Sunday afternoon when they take on Richmond. And some people on this side of the country, Rooch, are suggesting that the Eagles have got a chance of toppling the Tigers. For what it's worth, what do you think?
Well, I like the way they played at the weekend, and we know Richmond's limping a bit. I mean, they've taken some heavy hits. So if the door is open, this one's got a fair bit of light coming through it for West Coast. So, yeah, if they've got the ambition, see how they deliver.
I said yesterday on Sports Day WA, on reflection of the gather round, let's just keep it in Adelaide for years to come. I know there's another 2 years on the current arrangement. I can't see any reason whatsoever why it should be shifted. And that includes Perth. Perth cannot be a gather-round destination because of where we're geographically located.
Yeah, Adelaide's a great location, and it's certainly made sure that it's lived up to the reputation. When we have sporting events or any event in Adelaide, we do it very well. I do wonder if they'd like to take gather-round to Tasmania when the Devils start up in 2028 to just bring all the footy to Tassie in one hit. So there might be a reason to take it away then. You're always going to get the argument about promoting the game north of the Murray. I do agree the West does seem to be an outpost too far to make gather-round work. And really, Melbourne's got a gather-round of a sort every weekend anyway, and I just find it amazing how the Victorians are sooking up because they didn't have any footy last week and they didn't have any footy in the opening round. You'd think that they'd lost their lives or the meaning of their life when they didn't have footy there for a couple of weekends.
Yeah, and I also mentioned, I'm not sure the northern football states would work. I was in Queensland for a few days last week, and there was the rugby league on and the AFL on. I reckon they'd go and see Sydney and maybe GWS and maybe the Gold Coast and the Brisbane Lions. But if Fremantle were playing Adelaide in Sydney or Brisbane, I'm not sure it'd get the attendances that we've seen. And the likes of Mount Barker, they're in the Adelaide Hills and Norwood.
But if you don't try, as I say, if you never, never try, you'll never, never know. So, yeah, look, I'm not giving up on the thought that it could work in the northern markets.
What about Jeremy Finlayson? 3 weeks, a lot of dialogue about that since it was handed down earlier today, our time.
Well, a big mistake, and it has to come with a big penalty. But I think we're all a little confused as to what the AFL was trying to tell us here. They took Taylor Walker and pretty well nailed him to a cross 4 years ago with a six-week ban for a racial slur when he wasn't even playing. And they increased that ban by not allowing him to play in the preseason. Then we get 4 weeks ago, or 6 weeks ago, Alistair Clarkson going down the path of the homophobic slur and gets a suspended sentence. And now the AFL's got the real rod in its back because they've had to suspend Jeremy Finlayson. They're all over the shop. I'm tending to agree with the line that Paul Marsh from the AFL Players Union has put out, that they are consistently inconsistent. They have variations of outcomes for incidents that are no doubt have an equal status as to how, you know, they were taken. Like, there's so many mixed messages coming from the AFL on this one. Now, there's no doubt that Jeremy Finlayson had to deal with what he said, the consequences of it, which needed to be something like, I thought, a minimum of a 2-game ban. 3 lives up to that. But you can't then say that they've kept the same line that they had with Alistair Clarkson, nor the line they had with Taylor Walker. They've just been all over the shop on this one, the AFL.
Yeah, and they were all over the shop, of course, hiding their way with the illicit drugs situation that was certainly highlighted by the federal MP. At the moment, they seem to have lost their way a bit, haven't they? That's in my opinion, because there's nothing that is concrete regarding decision-making from the AFL.
Look, just to go on the illicit one, Peter, I'm a bit bemused by this one because the policy's been there for 20 years. And for people to suddenly say, you know, like Michael Malthouse, Tom Harley, and other people to say, oh, like they've just been blindsided by this. Well, if you were doing your job for the past 20 years at AFL football, you know what the illicit code is. And I can't find fault with where you're a club doctor. You have some doubts about how a player is coping. You send him through to a drug test. If he fails that drug test, you don't let him play. I would have thought there's a few ticks in those boxes. Mm. Now, I do have an issue with the policy, and I made it very clear to the AFL in 2014 when I was at the briefing, and they said, you will no longer get the detail on how many tests are done, how many fails, and what substances were found in those fails. And I said, well, if you're going to now hide this, and this was Paul Marsh really strong on this when he got to the Players Union saying cricket didn't release figures, why does football? Well, the point of what it did with football was we then knew there was a system in place. Now everyone's behaving as if, oh, we didn't know this was going on. Don't kid yourselves. We've all known this was going on for 20 years. What we didn't like about it was that there was this, I wouldn't say secrecy, there was this confidentiality, the argument that the players need confidentiality to be able to get through their drug problem. Now, I keep saying, well, I don't have a problem with the doctor testing the players. I don't have a problem with them taking them out of the game. It does become complicated. How do you explain a player missing when you know he wasn't injured the week before? And for coaches to say, oh, I didn't know about this. Well, what do you think was meant when the doctor came into match committee and said, you can't have player X this week and you can't play him? I mean, surely we all knew what that meant. I mean, he failed a drug test. So why are we suddenly being, oh, we didn't, this was going on? It's been going on for 20 years. And I have no problem with club doctors saying, player X is not playing because he failed a test.
I agree with everything you said, but the big criticism has been that we, as the media and the general fans that have been following the game, have been blatantly lied to, managed, out for personal reasons. Now, we never used to see that, but now all of a sudden we're thinking, ah, that's the reason why. Mm-hmm. And you've been in the media a long time, so has I. And honestly, there's been football managers and different personnel from AFL clubs like yourself in Port Adelaide, Adelaide, where you're speaking to somebody and you know they're blatantly lying to you about a play because you've got the information and the intelligence about the question you're asking. It's happened all the time.
Yeah, well, as our good friend Kevin Bartlett used to say, the second official language in Australian football is lying. So, I mean, I'm not terribly shocked, but I've always had an interesting debate with people in that field as to, well, you say confidentiality is important to get the player through the issue. And there have been a lot of players who have been exposed, well, either by accident or by sheer stupidity, and they've got through it. So I'm not sure that always confidentiality is the paramount issue here. There is also an issue about the integrity of the game and that trust with the fans to be able to say, well, you know what, player X is not playing this week because he failed an illicit drug test.
Mm.
And I think we'd all be better if we just had that understanding. But as I say, if anyone thinks that, you know, we didn't have a line of sight on this for 20 years, they kept their eyes pretty well shut. Yeah. But anyway, we've gone off course of drugs, and when we're really talking about an AFL policy that's also been difficult for them, where when you've got racism, homophobia and religious slurs and vilification now being seen to be at different level, because you know what most lay football fans are saying at the moment. So you're saying Taylor Walker was twice as bad as Jeremy Finlayson, and we don't know how to put Alistair Clarkson because you didn't ban him, Mr. AFL. So they've really created a mess here when they want to have a policy that says we will not tolerate anything, but then you show different levels of punishment depending on which box it fits into. They've really created a mess here at the AFL.
Yeah, they have. Before we move to the games at the weekend, we know Fremantle are certainly under the microscope. They've got Port Adelaide. What did you think about the events of last week against Carlton as part of the gather round? Certainly a big story here. It's now abated a bit. How did you read it regarding the... And we knew what happened in Adelaide last year regarding, of course, Keyes's kick that supposedly hit the post and it cost Adelaide so much. But how did you... What was your opinion on that? No doubt it's been dialogue on your program, The Run Home, in the early part of the week.
But there's a couple of issues with that whole thing. The umpire's missing what seems obvious to us, with the benefit of having a TV screen to replay it to us. And then the same with Rochelle and Rivers in that famous non-holding the ball call in the first game of Gather Round. If you look at where the umpires are and you say, he's in the wrong position to see the play. So, again, this question of how the umpires are coached to be in the wrong position and then miss key plays. And we don't want them guessing. We want them calling what they see rather than what they think is happening. But then you've got three other umpires there who have got pretty good eyesight on the incident. Why are they not calling it? Now, the Rochelle one, the touch one off the boot or touched, you know, Mark and all these sort of things, you wonder just where the umpires are at and if they were actually being put in the wrong positions to make wrong calls. But then the dissent one is fascinating because we haven't seen an issue with dissent. It's almost as if they pulled back dissent. Now, I find it interesting that Laura Kane made the remark as the AFL football chief, was it 2 days ago, that here was Gather Round, it was an opportunity to have all the umpires together, and we reinforced some things with them. We sent them, you know, some new... I just wonder if there was a memo during Gather Round that said dissent's back on the agenda, boys. So, you know, almost like rule of the week that we get in the AFL. And Jordan Clark, who... it's known to be lippy, has paid a pretty big price for what is considered dissent towards an umpire. Now, I mean, we've seen worse forms of dissent, and we've seen the consequences of it. Whether you want to debate what happens with turnaround of free kicks and second free kicks for goals and all that sort of stuff, that's another broader debate. But I'm still more focused on what is happening with the umpires and their positioning on the field, that they are missing so many kicks at the moment.
Yeah, and there's four of them now. Is it any better than three? Is it any better than when they had three? Is it any better than when they had two? But anyway, that's a discussion for another day. Just finally, we've got the Dockers and Port Adelaide. Should be a beauty on Saturday night.
Yeah,
I'll get your final thoughts on that in a moment. What's happened to the Crows and where do they sit now?
Well, no rebuild goes linear growth in the sense you go wooden spoon, 15th, 11th, 8th, fourth premiership. I can't find one. And there's always a road bump. Geelong had the famous road bump in 2006. And they had to severely review themselves. We know the pressure that brought between Bomber Thompson and Brian Cook. But they got a result. They got an enormous premiership in 2007. And a bit of a dynasty after that as well. What you've got with Adelaide is they've invested 2.5 years in a group of players who they had great belief in. They saw something last year. The rest of the competition also saw it. They worked on Adelaide's game plan. But there's no doubt that there's been a move backwards. When you've actually seen other teams that were ranked below Adelaide last year, such as Fremantle, Geelong, Gold Coast, get results against Adelaide and move ahead of them on the premiership table, that's telling me Adelaide's gone backwards. Now, they've got to reassess quite strongly where they are with list management. Are they making the right calls in who they're drafting, who they're trading in, and their needs? And I'm not blaming Matthew Nix for what has happened with 0-4. I'm looking at what was put on the table for him to coach. And I think there's been some deficiencies there with what Adelaide has had to deal with. Look at the end of last year. So obviously they needed to add to their defence. We can debate forever whether they do have a vanilla midfield and it needed an extra edge to it. And if they continue to be reliant, as they have become, on Taylor Walker in attack, that was always going to be a recipe for disaster. Now, Phil Thorpe's unlucky to get injured in the preseason, but he was no guarantee to suddenly be a Coleman medalist. So they have hit a massive road bump in the rebuild. There's no doubt, Peter, their biggest challenge, I think, in the next 5 weeks is more than anything they've faced in the previous 5 years, and that is to decide if they are going to stand firm with a strategic strategy they had in 2020 or whether they go for quick fixes. And, you know, we've seen clubs where they suddenly say, oh, well, we've now got to change direction. And they go for the quick fixes in the trade market. They buy the wrong players and they get a bigger mess than the one they started with. This is the real challenge for Adelaide, to actually recognise that they have to now decide, is their strategic strategy for the rebuild still the one that they have to believe in and make strong decisions about what they're going to bring into their football club at the end of the year? There's no answer to it right now. Not even the mid-season draft will help them out there. They've got to be very strong on what their strategy is once they hit October in that trade period.
Finally, looking forward to this. It'll be interesting to see how the Fremantle Dockers rebound after the controversy of last weekend. They take on Port Adelaide. How do you see this game panning out?
Well, I see I'm very sure, a Fremantle team that's going to defensively test Port Adelaide. I'm going to see two great midfields, particularly after what you've seen of Connor Rosie and Sarong in recent weeks. Fascinating issues in ruck. Jackson Soldo, and does Port Adelaide bring in Jordan Sweet to then deal with Darcy? And attack-wise, we know Port Adelaide can light up inside 50, but they don't light up the scoreboard. So there's some real tests here in the two fascinating aspects of both teams. We know Fremantle's strong defensively, and Port Adelaide can be tantalisingly great in attack, but doesn't always put it on the scoreboard. So, yeah, there's some great elements to this game to make it a classic between Port and Fremantle. And at this point, you would say, well, Port at home, with what we saw against Essendon, you would back them to be the pre-game favourite. But I wouldn't dismiss Fremantle, because they actually have surprised me with what they've been able to deliver so far this year. And I would dare say that after the disappointment of last week, you always worry about people who are angry when they get onto the footy field again and want to prove a point.
Yeah, I reckon it'll be certainly one of the standout games of the round. There's no question about that. Should be a beauty. Yeah. Michelangelo, always lovely to chat. And thanks for spending some moments with us here on Sports Day WA.
And I'll look forward to seeing the back page of the West Australian tomorrow morning.
See you, mate. Thanks for your time.
Bye-bye.
Classic. Absolute classic. I tell you what, the Harley Reid back page of the West has gained a bit of traction, not only here, but it appears interstate as well. By the way, on the text line, 0487 736 736, who reads the paper anymore? All yesterday's news, fingers crossed, Reid and Martin line up on each other on Sunday. Also, it makes sense to have gather round. It looks like we're missing just some of the text there from Knowlesy. Gather round, I think he's mentioned gather round could possibly, this is Michelangelo Rucci, suggesting that when Tasmania come into the competition, to give it a real impetus, they probably could be in the reckoning, the Tasmanians. Norman Cal, Pete, the AFL is a national competition and Adelaide have no right to hijack it forever. Every other state should have the right to host gather round to see how it works. And you can't say it won't work elsewhere just because it's been held only in South Australia. Stop knocking WA. I'm not knocking WA, but I just think the logistics of it make it a little bit difficult here. Hey, I'd love to be proved wrong. Don't worry about that. Hi, Peter. Jeremy Finlayson's case should have been dealt with the next day. It's inexcusable to leave a player and the club hanging for 5 days. I agree, Lisa. No, I agree. Finlayson apologised to the player and I think he should have received the same as Clarkson. That's Lisa from Ellenbrook. Do you agree with her? Give us your thoughts. 0487 736 736. Justin Longmuir basically spoke today. He's made some comments on Sean Darcy, also on the Jackson-Darcy combo. You'll hear from J-Lo after the break here on Sports Day WA.
The new refined seven-seat Kia Sorento, Kia's large SUV, available now at your nearest Kia dealer. And Toolmart, the complete tool centre, serving WA for over 40 years. This is Sports Day.